I want to visit with Tom Porter. Now, Tom is the regional managing director of the Central Region at UNICEF USA. Tom, good to have you on News & News.
Hey, good morning, Joel. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
A bunch of people out there know what UNICEF is, but for those that might not, why don't you explain to them what UNICEF is?
Sure. UNICEF has a rich 75-year history. We started at the aftermath of World War II with a singular purpose, which is to protect children around the globe, no matter where they are. So it's our single focus, and that happens in 190 countries around the globe. And we've been, like I said, we've been doing it for 75 years.
So one of the reasons, Tom, that we called you, because like I mentioned, a lot of people know what UNICEF is, and hopefully after we're done with this, they'll find a way to even help you more. But it's this, it's because of your work in Ukraine. Can you describe what UNICEF is doing in Ukraine?
Sure. And let me just, I'll back up just a little bit too and say that, you know, in general, UNICEF responds to children by providing access to health, of clean water and sanitation. We try to protect children through policies and interventions. And we offer, you know, bring supplies and logistics wherever they're needed, whether it's a war or a natural disaster. We also offer education services as well. So it's all of those things are happening all over the world. But in Ukraine, it's a humanitarian challenge like we haven't seen since World War II. To give you a sense of the scale of the threat facing children, 4.5 million children have been displaced. 2.5 million children are in Ukraine. That's 60% of Ukraine's children are now forced from their homes and on the move because of the attacks on their country.
And that just, I think people sometimes are oblivious to that. When you say the numbers, it just, they're staggering. I mean, they really are staggering. And then you put the face to it like UNICEF does when you bring that human touch and you just show the children that are paying the price and suffering for this. I mean, Tom, you do rewarding work. I mean, this must be rewarding.
It's challenging. I'd say our colleagues on the ground are the ones doing the very difficult work. I don't personally feel, you know, my safety is threatened every day, but I have 140 colleagues that are in Ukraine. They're across 8 different locations there, and we've seen dispatches from them where they're operating out of basements or bunkers or on the move. You know, they are in constant contact with authorities or commanders on both sides because we have, again, a singular focus of achieving access to children and supporting children. So they're doing incredibly challenging work. But yes, the opportunity here for UNICEF and for anyone that gets involved is to alter the course of a life of a child. And, you know, in Ukraine right now, that's a million, 4.5 million times over. So it's like you said, the numbers are staggering, especially I'm in Dallas now, but I lived in Montana and there's only a million people in the state of Montana. And so if you sort of wrap your head around that scale of this tragedy, it's something like we haven't seen in certainly my lifetime and many of our lifetimes combined.
Yeah. So, you know, I realize if it's just one child, it's worth it all. But in terms of what you're seeing in Ukraine, you mentioned numbers. I mean, how much of it does your organization assume is just being ignored, that we're just flat out missing? You know, there's
sure.
This belief that anyone that wanted to get out could be in Poland right now, for example, and we all know that's not true, or at least we should. And so what are you seeing on the ground in Ukraine?
Yeah, that's a great question. And UNICEF, along with our international partners from the other UN agencies, other NGOs, you know, it is our duty to keep track of those numbers. And those are so our, you know, what you're hearing right now are our best estimates, but the numbers are likely higher. And there's two things that are happening. We've already seen, for example, over a million children have arrived in Poland. So I mentioned 2 million children have already fled Ukraine. And so to a certain extent, that we now are serving two populations, children that are in the neighboring countries of Poland, Romania, Moldova, Hungary, Slovakia, and the Czech Republic. So we're ramping up services in all of those countries. But at the same time, we have to deliver services to the children that are still inside Ukraine. So, and they're two, you know, very different needs. One of the ways that we're doing this, because you have a huge portion of children that are on the move, we have something called a Blue Dot Center, which we've set up with other agencies, that is kind of a one-stop shop for child protection. So families that are on the move can kind of check in at these respite centers. We can do basic health interventions, provide, you know, access to clean water and food, things like this, any supplies they might need. But we can also make sure that, like, families can be reunited because these centers are connected. There's child-friendly spaces so they can have kind of a respite from the horror of what they've experienced as a child. So they can, you know, have things like a school in a box, a basic kind of educational tools, or even toys, just a chance to be a child for a few minutes instead of fleeing, you know, the war. As you said earlier, children bear the brunt of any conflict.
Yeah, and I think that what you just described draws an image in people's minds that you can't get out. I mean, once it's there, you recognize it, you realize it, and then, you know, you see the carnage, you see the damage, but you don't relate that into how a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old is, that's going to define their life in many ways. You know, I mean, we all sit there and say, what's your earliest memory? Or, you know, what do you remember kindergarten being like? Or these kids are watching their homes blow up. I mean, blown up. And so it's a different world for them, Tom.
Yes. And of course, the tragic reality is we know this has been happening around the world for a long time. And actually in Ukraine, you know, it's been happening in the eastern part of the country for the last 8 years. You know, and when you talk about what we're doing inside the country, a lot of it's just getting supplies they need because, of course, their whole, you know, system has been disrupted. So as of last week, we've dispatched about 114 trucks, which equates to about 1,200 tons of emergency supplies to children and families inside Ukraine. The ones that are on the move, one of the easiest interventions we can do is provide like small cash advances. So these little cash transfer programs to mothers and families, because, you know, they've had to just imagine if you had to just pick up and leave your house with what you had. And, you know, so often a small intervention, like a small amount of cash, can actually be an incredible lifeline for a family.
Yeah. So if people want to help what you're doing, and I know that this is one of the reasons that we asked you on, was for this part in particular. If people want to help UNICEF, how can they?
Yeah, I mean, well, and look, thanks for asking. And I can just say that the American public has responded vigorously to the threats that our children are facing in Ukraine. I would encourage everyone to go to UNICEF USA to educate yourself about, you know, to see the many ways children are under threat and what UNICEF and our partners are doing to protect children. Of course, you can make a cash gift, a donation of any size helps. As I said, when, you know, in these dire situations, you know, something like even a small gift of like $10 or $25 might, you know, totally supply a family with what they need for a few days. You know, one of those Blue Dot centers I mentioned, those only cost about $150,000 to set up, and those serve thousands of families. So you can understand how, like, just a little bit of cash goes a long way in protecting lives. For younger people out there, you know, families, they can start a community fundraiser. You know, we have a long history of that here in UNICEF USA, going back to like our trick or treat for UNICEF. So you can do all of that on unicefusa.org. And like I said, and then I would say, you know, we also have a YouTube channel, so you can kind of see for yourself what's happening inside the country. That's the amazing thing about this war at this moment, is that we're all kind of watching it in real time, no matter where we are. So I would just encourage you to, again, go to unicefusa.org. If you have children, we definitely need to, there's tools on there to how to talk to your children about war and to tell them, you know, what is happening over there and how to engage them in the conversation about helping other children. It's, as you said earlier, you can only imagine the horror of waking up every day, not knowing if you have to run to the basement or, you know, flee the country or whatnot. So, you know, it's our objective, of course, to protect every child. But right now, Ukraine is the largest humanitarian tragedy on the planet.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this, that the job you do, you know, from afar, and the people that I know you pointed out are in harm's way, you have the ability to get word to them that how much we all appreciate it. and I hope people do help you out. And Tom, I thank you, sir, for giving us your time.
Joel, thank you for the conversation, and thank you for the opportunity to share some of these details. And I appreciate your time this morning as well.